Straight up, I don't trust a fat doctor. I'm sorry.
Well, and there are a lot of them out there. I had one the other day that was doing my...
You need to lose weight.
Well, no, he didn't tell me that. He was actually a neurosurgeon or a neuro doctor. And his whole... He just came in. He's just a big old boy.
Right.
And I'm like, something's just not right. You're not listening to your own people. It's just got to be what it is.
But the interesting thing to think about when you're talking to a physician is that they don't necessarily have any expertise or interest in healthy living, wellness, nutritious eating. They've been trained in medicine, and they're the best place to go when you have a ruptured appendix like I did a couple of years ago, and they saved my life. That's great. So the real problem is people dispensing health and dietary advice that are uninformed or at least not up to speed on the latest science.
Welcome to the Disruption Zone. Opportunity lives where the status quo dies. Talking to the greatest innovators, disruptors, and off-the-wall inventors we can scrounge up. You laugh, you'll learn, you'll be inspired. Now, here are your hosts, Leland Conway and Cameron Mills.
Welcome back to the Disruption Zone. Leland Conway along with Cameron Mills. And we've been disrupting the food chain recently. I mean, we talk about all kinds of things on this program, but lately, you know, I mean, because here in our state, certainly we have an issue with health. We have an issue with obesity.
Diabetes,
all of those chronic diseases.
COPD.
What is that?
Chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder.
Oh, okay.
Or disease. I forget which was the last D.
Well, you work in the healthcare industry.
I do.
So
work
you
in
know
healthcare.
More about this stuff.
Yeah. And it's amazing. It's one of those things where the people in the healthcare industry, you would think, would be amongst the healthiest on our planet.
You would think.
And they're not. I mean, I can't tell you. And no offense against nurses. I love nurses. I work with nurses all the time. But the number of them that have to take smoke breaks.
Yeah.
And they're sitting there. They're inundated with information about the you know what smoking will do, and yet
straight up, I don't trust a fat doctor. I'm sorry.
Well, and there are a lot of them out there. I had one the other day that was doing my.
You need to lose weight.
Well, no, he didn't tell me that. He was actually a neurosurgeon, but or a neuro doctor, and he just came in. He's just a big old boy,
right?
And I'm like, something's just not right. You're not listening to your own people. It's just got to be what it is.
Well, I tell you what, I got into this thing about a little over a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, and just kind of progressively, this all started with family members who ran into some health issues that I had, and I just didn't want to accept the genetic marker thing. Like, you're destined to be diabetic like everybody else in your family, and I didn't want to accept that. And I came across this website called Mark's Daily Apple, and I began reading and got really sucked in. Started by reading the Primal Blueprint. I checked the website every day. And now the new book that's come out is called The Keto Reset, 21-Day Keto Reset Diet. And along the way, I've also listened to their podcasts and gotten to know by hearing this gentleman named Brad Kearns, who works with Mark Sisson and is the co-author of that book. We want to welcome him in as our guest today. Brad, how are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm so glad to be on with you guys, Leland and Cameron, and love your spicy start to the show. I do have a problem with people dispensing health advice that aren't walking your talk. But the interesting thing to think about when you're talking to a physician is that they don't necessarily have any expertise or interest in healthy living, wellness, nutritious eating. They've been trained in medicine, and they're the best place to go when you have a ruptured appendix like I did a couple of years ago, and they saved my life. That's great. So the real problem is people dispensing health and dietary advice that are uninformed or at least not up to speed on the latest science. And we get such, you know, criticism and naysayers from people on the outside with a rudimentary and flawed understanding of things like keto or things like low carbohydrate, high fat eating patterns that, you know, the primal paleo has been trying to popularize for the last 10 years. So, you know, I like to keep an open mind. I'm listening to people. And if Cameron wants to talk to me about my free throw form, you know, I'm going to listen intently because I feel like you have a built-in, you know, credibility there, but not necessarily about
not
fixing
free throws.
My car or things that are out of, you know, out of the realm.
Yeah.
Same with the doctor.
Well,
you
what
know,
was
I
your average
I could ask
free
the
throw?
Plumber to fix my car.
My average free throw.
Yeah. What was your free throw?
I'm
going to
give you my senior year average because it's the best.
You're going to fudge it.
No, I'm not. It's
you're
accurate.
Just going to take the top average, well, the big number.
Career-wise at UK, it was in the 80 percentile.
So 80% better than me.
Well, but I want to give you my senior year. I missed one.
Out of what, three?
No, 23.
Okay.
I made that. So it's right in the middle of, is that impressive or not? But I still, it's 22 or 21. I missed one.
Brad, you still want lessons?
Absolutely. Because if you only shoot 23 for the entire season, you think about how much pressure you're under. You're not in a groove.
That's,
you're not shooting all the
games. That's very well thought out, Brad.
That is very well thought out already.
Brad, one of the things you mentioned, that the doctors, they are good at helping with issues like appendicitis. I had two ruptured discs, okay? I needed a doctor, a surgeon, to go in and fix my ruptured disc. One thing that I think Leland and I have come into – well, I'll speak for me because I don't know how much Leland wants to get into this today. But, you know, I had a blood pressure spike about, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I was on my own, just didn't feel good. Checked my blood pressure. It was higher. That, of course, made me stress out even more, which spiked my blood pressure even higher, and got into the cyclical thing one night where I said, okay, I've got to go to the ER. Went to the ER, was told I had a 9-hour wait, which, of course, that made me calm. That I had to wait for 9 hours. And then basically what came out of it was, here's blood pressure medication. Now, it wasn't specifically stated that I would be on this blood pressure medication for the rest of my life. But I would still tell you, other than the exception of, you know, some rapid weight loss I've had as a result of not necessarily primal or paleo or keto, but just some other stuff I've done, which as I've researched, it actually is a lot of this teaching. And that's what's helped me lose it. Other than that, there's been no help or no information from the doctor that maybe one day you can get off this if you lose your weight.
Yeah.
I've lost the weight. I've gone down from 3 scripts to 2 scripts. And that's the other thing that I think they put us on this medication. Like Leland said, it's an ongoing thing. There's never any information that says, if you do this, this, and this, there's a chance you can get off our medication.
Right. I mean, that's not their area of expertise. They're dealing with an acute problem of high blood pressure. And this drug, you know, overrides your genetic signaling to immediately lower blood pressure. So it's very effective and life-saving, if the case may be, with an antibiotic or anything. So we just, as patients, as humans, we have to keep everything in the medical realm in the proper context. And unfortunately, we have this collective flawed mentality where we've been programmed, or we like to believe that there's easy solutions like popping a pill to right the ills that are lifestyle-driven. So a lot of it's on us. It's our fault to, you know, to buy into this kind of mindset and this narrow focused approach of health equating to prescription drug, you know, fixing you up. And, you know, the mentality is everywhere. A friend of mine just had a bypass operation to clear out clogged pipes, even though he's a very athletic person and, you know, working out with his personal trainer and trying to watch his diet and compete at a high level, even as an old guy. And then he went in there and he said that after his procedure, the doctor pronounced him as good as new. In other words, you're all cleaned out now and you're brand new and everything's fine. Go about your way and live your life. And that seems like the most tragic thing to say to someone whose pipes you just cleaned out, where you might even say the opposite, like, dude, you just got one of your 9 live cards played. Right. And now you got to make some serious changes if you don't want to end up here again or under worse circumstances. If you don't imagine what's happened here, you're not good as new after a bypass surgery and a stent installation. It's just a stopgap measure. And then there's, you know, the hope and prayer that you'll change your ways so you don't have to deal with medicine in that manner.
Is it cynical enough, though, to say that the reason they're telling them that is because, and this is very cynical and very dark thought, and I hate to think that this is where we are in this country or in medicine, but is it cynical enough to say that the reason they say that to them, go live your life, is because they want you back in that same position in 20 years to do it again?
No, I'm not going to say that.
All right.
I mean, the doctors, I come from a family of medical professionals. My father's a surgeon. My sister's a family doctor. I have close friends, cousins, you know, so I'm in the medical realm, and these people are, you know, they took the Hippocratic Oath and they are, you know, highly committed to doing the best they can and helping other humans. They make a good income, so they're not money grubbing auto mechanics that are going to lie about your brake pads. There's none of that nonsense. So I really feel like it's just the narrow focus of sick care as it is as we see it today. We just need to, you know, think of it correctly, that they're taking care of people who are sick and they're doing a great job. And then we have the whole other picture of wellness and well-being and living a healthy lifestyle and balancing stress and rest and getting away from the hyper-stimulation of technology and the processed foods and the flawed exercise patterns and all these things we see, the insufficient sleep habits, those have nothing to do with, you know, the medical community. It's more to do with educating yourself,
yeah.
You know, looking to mentors and experts that are in the wellness space. So when you had that high blood pressure and that 9-hour wait, you would have been much better served, and this has been proven true scientifically, you would have been much better served to go get your butt into a yoga class. And at the start of that yoga class and at the end, you would have had a significant reduction in blood pressure because those people are expert in stimulating the parasympathetic nervous system response through a series of poses and mindful breathing. It's just, it works. It's scientifically proven. Guys like Dr. Deepak Chopra have wonderfully blended, you know, Western medicine as we know it with the Eastern spirituality, and have data backing up that your hormones change and your blood chemistry changes and all these things change just from sitting into a yoga class and doing a few deep breaths at the outset and then going into your poses.
Hey, Brad, I'm really glad you brought that up because Cameron has started wearing yoga pants, and I was hoping that there would be some, like, you know what I'm saying, like
Leland, some actual use for them.
What
you don't understand is that they're very comfortable.
If I can add to, though, you mentioned, because I had a very similar medical issue to what Cameron did, and we're both young guys, right? And I had a similar experience with, at first, the cardiologist told me all the wrong things, Brad. I mean, it was like, you need to keep 1,200 milligrams of sodium a day. And of course, I go back in for my first checkup, and they're like, dude, your sodium's way too low.
You need to keep away from,
they wanted me to only have 1,200 milligrams
only
a day.
Okay, yeah.
And I go back in the first checkup because I did what the doctor told me.
Right.
You know, I'm like, whatever you tell me, I'll do, I promise.
Yeah.
And so, but what was funny was when I switched over to paleo, And I started to see results like that. I go into my doctor. This is my actual doctor said to me a couple times that I was in ago. He goes, dude, I wish you'd come in and lecture my patients.
Yeah.
Because I took, doing what Brad said, I took my health into my own hands in that sense. And I think, Brad, what you were kind of saying is, it's not that the doctors want to see you back again. It's that they're used to us saying, give me a freaking pill, dude, and wanting to walk away without having to do the work of the wellness that you talked about.
Oh, yes. I mean, some of these horror stories. I was just talking to that prominent author, Dr. Kate Shanahan, and she was relating how people come in demanding a prescription, and they'll scream if they don't get it.
Yeah.
And you're pretty much obligated to, you know, deal with these people in with all the constraints and the seven-minute maximum patient time. And if you don't give it to them, someone else will, and it's just, well, they're in a tough spot, really. So I like to have that collective approach where everybody takes responsibility for their health.
Well, let's take this conversation in the direction of that. And Cameron, I know you have a lot of questions. I want to let you go with Brad because I've listened to a lot of Brad's podcasts. I've read the book cover to cover, the 21-Day Keto Reset. It's awesome, Brad. And I'll be honest with you. You guys do a great job of putting this key information into terms that the average person can read and go, I get that. But let's start with that. What is the difference between keto and paleo?
And that's what I know. So let's talk primal, let's talk keto, let's call paleo. And then what I want to know is why 21 days? Because it seems like, you know, a few years ago I did a 21-day, what at the time has been called a Daniel fast, which was basically fruits and vegetables, beans for 21 days. Trainer Joe.
Yeah.
But he's the same thing. He's got a reset. You've got a reset. Why is the reset necessary? What's involved and why 21 days?
Okay, well, I'll start with the first question, which is talking about these terms, primal, paleo, keto. And for the basic insight, if you're unfamiliar as a listener, we're talking about this so-called evolutionary health movement where in the past decade really is when it started to take off. But it was this look back to our ancestry and our human genetics and what behaviors, foods, lifestyle practices are optimal for human health. We've been evolving for 2.5 million years into the present form of Homo sapiens, and we've been hunter-gatherers for much of that time, and we've eaten the natural foods of the earth, of the plant and animal nature. So we have evolved to thrive on a diet that's, you could comparatively call it, a hunter-gatherer-style eating pattern comprised of, and this is the whole list if you're taking notes, meat, fish, fowl, eggs, vegetables, fruits, nuts, and seeds. Pretty simple. And then we have, in the primal community, we want to make it easy and accessible, so we're not trying to be hardcore or militant. So we want to make some allowances for certain foods that are modern. They weren't there in primal and human times, but they're healthy. They have no objections. So you can eat your high percentage dark chocolate as a nice treat, okay, or well-chosen high-fat dairy products and other things. But what we want to get away from are these modern foods that stimulate excessive insulin production because they're extremely high in carbohydrate in comparison to our genetic expectations. So the foods I just listed are rich in natural nutritious fats. Right. They have adequate protein levels, and they have a contribution of carbohydrates in the complex and highly nutritious form, such as fruits and vegetables and nuts and seeds and things like that. But what we have instead is the modern grain-based, extremely high carbohydrate diet where we're eating pasta and bread and cereals and rice and corn and then all the sugars and the sweetened beverages and the things that we stuff down our throat, and especially the refined high polyunsaturated vegetable oils, which is a wholly modern chemically altered composition of the original food that it came from. And these are extremely hazardous to our health. And unfortunately, this is a stat from Dr. Lauren Cordain, author of The Paleo Diet. He calculates that 71% of the calories in the standard American diet come from foods that are entirely foreign to our genetic expectation for health. In other words, grains, sugars, and refined vegetable oils. And so we're basically malnourished, even though we eat too much and store too much fat. We're not getting the nutritional value, and what we're getting instead is this high insulin-producing pattern where it leads to disease patterns, bad blood work, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, obesity, cancer, heart disease, lifelong accumulation of excess body fat, and these things can all be righted very, very quickly when you recalibrate from this grain-based high-carbohydrate diet into a more ancestral style diet. So for these purposes, the terms primal or paleo obviously relate to the ancestry, the ancient times, Paleolithic times, before the dawn of civilization, which is when all the grains came into play, the wheat and the rice and the corn from the early civilizations, which were, you know, too high in carbs. So we have that to define the terms. And then keto stands for ketogenic, and that's when you have an extreme reduction of dietary carbohydrates, or you're fasting or starving, you're getting insufficient total calories, and your body responds by manufacturing these energy-rich fuel source that's made in the liver, and they're called ketones or ketone bodies. So when you get into this ketogenic state, it's been validated and undisputed by science that your body is functioning at an optimal level. You have heightened immune function, cognitive function, cardiovascular, and all your genetic function and your hormonal functions are optimized when you have a calorie restriction. And so these benefits have been known for a long time to science, that when you're starving or fasting, that's when things start to really, believe it or not, you start to improve your cellular repair and you optimize your function because you're not getting enough food. And it's a survival response to try to survive even in the absence of calories. So because we don't want to starve every day or go on these prolonged fasting and hunger strikes in the name of health, and we don't want to, you know, become emaciated, the strategy of eating in a ketogenic manner gives you all these fasting-like benefits at the cellular level without having to starve yourself. So you can eat these meals that are high in fat and low in carbohydrate and put your body into this optimal genetic state called ketosis.
Mark, is it? Let's look. I hear the word malnourished, and you know, when someone says malnourished to me today, I tend to think of those, you know, late night commercials that come on where you can sponsor a child overseas, you know, help them, you know, they're fighting hunger, help, they're fighting malnutrition, and you get these pictures of these kids who, you know, they look rail thin, you can see their ribs, and you think, okay, that's definitely a malnourished child. Is it fair to say that in the obesity level, let's say Kentucky, for example, where, you know, we've got people who, you know, I was labeled as obese a few years ago, and I may still be medically labeled obese. Is it fair to say that if we can still be malnourished and still be overweight? I mean, is that a fair comment?
Yeah, man, and this is a big one to understand. And Gary Taubes gave this life-changing insight in his book of Why We Get Fat. And he said, it's not your fault. Obesity and sloth are symptoms. They're not the cause. Like, laziness is not the cause of obesity. So So when you have this metabolic damage, as evidenced by being in an overweight or obese state, what's happened is you have a ton of energy in storage, but you can't access and burn it because you're in this high insulin-producing dietary pattern. So the fat is locked away in storage, and you're entirely reliant upon your next high-carbohydrate meal as your energy source. So you're good at burning only carbs from the diet, and you can't burn body fat because of this metabolic dysfunction caused by a high-carbohydrate, high-insulin-producing diet. So literally, someone who has metabolic damage, obesity, is walking around feeling tired and sluggish because they're not good at accessing and burning stored body fat. And that's why if you so much as miss a single meal, even though you got plenty of extra poundage on your body, you're going to get tired, cranky, cognitive function is going to decline, and you're going to go hunting around for the nearest snack and especially a quick energy boost of sugar or caffeine to kind of get you through the day. So this is where the malnourished part comes in, is that your bloodstream is literally starved of energy because of your dietary patterns. And you have this wonderful treasure trove of energy locked away, which is your stored body fat, that all you need to do to unlock it is to dial down the level of insulin you produce in your diet due to the carbohydrate level. So when you cut out grains and sugars and also cut out the refined vegetable oils, which hampers fat burning because of their toxic nature in the cellular level, when you cut out those foods and start calibrating toward these more nutrient-dense meals where you can actually eat the omelet and burn that energy off for hours afterward without that blood sugar spike, but just having a nice stable supply of free fatty acids from the high fat content of the meal, then you start to experience what it feels like to, you know, be energetic, productive, light on your feet, and having some of those genetic attributes that the lucky folks among us do, because we all know someone who can eat whatever they want and they never gain a pound and they're full of energy and they're bouncing around.
I hate
and there's
people.
A very small segment of the population that can do that. And the rest of us are highly, highly sensitive to the damaging effects of things like gluten and carbohydrates, especially sugars in general.
But there's a way we can get there. I mean, maybe not to that point, but there are decisions we can make along this path that can get us more to that where we're burning the right kind of fuel at the right time.
Correct. And it's as simple as this. I want to make it easy for the listener to, you know, to change their lives and turn on a dime and get things better starting today. It's to eliminate those offensive, nutrient-deficient sources that are high carbohydrate, the grains and the sugars. The grains being anything that's, bread, pasta, cereal, corn, all the things that are made from those agents, all the wheat products and the packaged snacks and the frozen treats, and even the energy bars where you see this healthy, high-protein boost bar for your workout. You look on the label, and it's mostly sugar and all kinds of synthetic products and preservatives and, you know, this processed food that's the centerpiece of our diet. Once you start cutting that stuff out, you can start unlocking the amazing secrets to health that is being fat adapted and being in that primal paleo keto eating pattern.
And the energy drinks as well. I mean, they seem like a cyclical, a downward cycle in the same realm because they're loaded with maybe caffeine, but also loaded with sugar, and that's not what we're after either.
Yeah, we're talking about having a crappy car that you're, you know, putting more money into new spark plugs, and then this part goes, and you fix that up, and it spews black smoke down the freeway, and you have to get gas all the time, and it's inefficient. Or, you know, the other alternative is to take the time to build this efficient fat-burning machine. It's kind of like having a solar-powered Tesla that hums down the road cleanly. It never runs out of gas, and inside your body, all kinds of amazing things are happening when you become a fat burner rather than a sugar addict. And these are health benefits at the cellular level where you're using more mitochondria when you're burning calories, so you're creating less oxidative stress, less free radicals in the body, and you're generally becoming a healthier, less inflamed, less oxidized human so that you're not accelerating the aging process, not to mention, you know, the excess body fat and the things that are big ticket items for most people. They just want to get rid of that extra weight. But even beyond dropping excess body fat, you get all kinds of other benefits at the cellular and metabolic level.
We're talking with Brad Kearns. He's a co-author of the 21-Day Keto Reset Diet. Brad, can we address a couple of things here? One, the excuse that I hear from a lot of people is, my grandparents and my parents and everybody in my family, we ate this stuff. It was fine. It never killed us. And it's like, I had a guy actually tell me this the other day. He's like, you know, it was on Facebook, but his Facebook picture was, I mean, he probably came in around 300. And God bless him. Well, I mean, God bless him.
What
but
a great
but,
judgment.
But God bless him. But he said he was like, oh, I've been eating this stuff for all my life, and I'm 67, and I'm fine. And I'm like, look at you, dude. I mean, it's not fine.
To be fair,
I'm not judging that.
He could have had a chubby face, and he could have been cut below his
brother, neck. Brother, if he looked like Hulk Hogan, then I am wrong, and I will admit it. But I'm just saying, I was like, dude, I mean, seriously, look at this. Look, are you on cholesterol medicine?
Yeah.
Are you on blood pressure medicine?
Yeah.
Are you on all these different things?
And the statins?
Well, yeah, statins.
I'm sorry.
The thing that bugs me about this, Brad, is that this stuff kills us slowly. It doesn't kill us right away. We don't see it as poison. Because we're hooked on it, and it kills us slowly.
Yeah, good point. And another thing that we learn in this evolutionary health community, ancestral health, primal community, is that people have to be ready to receive the message.
Yeah.
And you can bounce around like Richard Simmons all across them and yell in their ear like Jillian Michaels and call them a loser and lazy, and they better get off their butt and exercise.
That doesn't help.
But nothing's going to work, and you're going to be wasting your breath until a person has that general basic interest level that they want to be healthier. So
right.
If someone's expressing a rationalization of that manner and that indicates that they're closed-minded and they're not curious about improving their condition. So
let's move on,
we're talking to, unfortunately, it's a smaller segment of the population than I wish it was, but the people that are on a health quest or that have that basic respect for their body and what they put into it, is not 100% of the society. It's a small segment.
Well, I think one of the things that I love about this movement, Brad, and one of the things that has gotten me involved in, other than the fact that, okay, I had lost 80 pounds basically through a hormone treatment. I mean, it was kind of we did a weight loss thing, we did a hormone thing. I lost 80 pounds. I kind of hit a plateau, and I'm like, you know what? I want to lose another 60. 60 gets me back to my playing weight, essentially. But I kind of got in some bad habits, and then I started noticing what Leland was doing and what his wife Tabitha was doing. And the great thing about the way they treated it, and Leland's told me that this is kind of the community of paleo, primal, and keto, is that nobody really, there's not a lot of hard sells. It's like, look, this is what I'm doing. This is what works. I'd love to tell you about it if you want to hear about it. But there's no, you know, what we call in the Christian world, Leland and I are both Christians in some sense, in ministry, is that we kind of look at the evangelism. We want to tell you, but it's the same way, is that, you know what, we should be living our lives away. We should be eating our lives away. And Leland, you and I've had this talk many times about where there's something so different and better about how we're living our lives that people should seek us out and say,
right.
What are you doing? And I think that's what, you know, the keto, primal, paleo world has going for is because it doesn't seem to be pushy. There seems
right.
to be a lot of grace involved, and it's, hey, if you want to know, we'd love to tell you.
Right, yeah. And I think a lot of that comes from you and Mark, Brad. I mean, you guys, you're all, and L, your approach has been very gracious, and I think that pulls more people in than otherwise would be interested.
Yeah.
Well, I can be pushy if you want me to, and I will state that I'm paying the insurance policy. You know, my insurance policy rate is reflected by the, you know, epidemic cases of type 2 diabetes that's growing so quickly in this country that we have an author of ours named Dr. Doug McGuff in South Carolina. Is a very knowledgeable guy, and he co-wrote a book called The Primal Prescription and did some talking about the statistics and the patterns that we see in medicine and healthcare. And he cited the statistic that if the rate of type 2 diabetes continues at the current rate, we will bankrupt the United States Treasury by the year 2060 because it costs so much to care for a diabetic, but now we're pretty good at it, so we can keep them alive for years and decades with expensive medications and expensive treatments. But this is an entirely diet-related disease epidemic. Type 1 is when you're looking at people that were born with it, but type 2 is developed over years and decades, and now we're seeing it in small children for the first time ever. That's why it's not called adult onset diabetes anymore. It's called type 2 because we see kids 10 years old showing signs of plaque in the arteries and pre-diabetic blood work because of the massive ingestion of carbohydrates. So I can get a little spicy on the topic because I feel like we're drifting through this, for the most part, very comfortable, indulgent, decadent life. We have all the digital and technological advancements to make things more and more comfortable for us. And a lot of us are just drifting through kind of going with the flow and going with the cultural patterns. And in doing so, we're failing to recognize the absolute urgency of taking this ship by the wheel and righting it before we head into disaster. And I don't know how many more funerals and hospital rooms we need to visit of family, friends, loved ones, and ourselves before we get this massive collective wake-up call to go, oh, you know what? McDonald's Happy Meal is not looking out for my personal health, and they're giving away free toys to little kids so the kids will scream and yell to go back there and get more. And all this marketing influence and these sordid influences of even at the U.S. government level, the bastion of education, Harvard Medical School, was recently exposed for covering up data and dispensing flawed and disjointed health information years ago, covering up data that vegetable oils were bad for us. And there's all kinds of occasions where it's just time for a wake-up call. So, you know, I'll be kind and gentle and help someone and support them whatever way necessary. But we do have to put in a plug for that. This is not, you know, this is not fun and games. This is not like improving your putting stroke with more drills every day. This is, you know, saving your life and saving yourself a ton of pain and suffering.
I think a lot of it, too, is we're at the point now where we've got to put in effort in educating ourselves on this, whether it's going through Primal Blueprint, whether it's going through, any of the number of places out there that are teaching this philosophy. Watching the evening news and letting the evening news as they close, a new study has come out, and then listening to that study and realizing that that study basically negates a study that came out last week on the same news channel, and realizing wait a minute, what's true? Because they never say, it's always those key words of suggest, a new study suggests. But when we hear it, we think, okay, well, that's what I need to do. I need to eliminate all chocolate from my diet.
Right. Well, and here's a great point, a great thing based on that, Brad, too, is just last week there was a study that came out that in the headline in the Daily Mail was, bacon will kill you. No amount is safe. Literally, that's what it said. But if you read the story,
read the article.
They admit later in the article that it's processed meats. But they lump in, like, say, a good old grass-fed steak. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is the misinformation that people need to be able to get beyond, because the media is a big part of that. When they tell me that bacon is killing me, and I go, no. When I get bacon that is from a pasture-raised pig that doesn't have nitrites in it, that bacon is fine, and I can eat a lot of that.
And by the way, it's delicious.
Oh, it's unbelievable that way.
It's very good.
So, I mean, if you want to comment on that, but I think to your point, too, and I agree with you, Brad, by the way, that there's a lot of I'm when I go to the mall and I look around me, I go, there's the reason why I'm paying $500 a month for health insurance. And I don't mean to be mean and judgmental, but it's a truth.
Yeah. And I'm part of that problem, too. I mean, I've been overweight for about 3 or 4 years. And so I've got no
problem.
You owe
me money, Cameron.
In some sense, I do. But I am fixing myself.
And hook my buddy Brad up here for a minute, too.
I know. Brad lives out in California. I'm not sure he's been paying into my health insurance. You probably have, living in Kentucky. Brad, can you go through real quick? Because I want to get real basic for those of us who are new to this. Leland knows a lot of this stuff. I'm learning what is okay to eat, what is not okay to eat. You've mentioned a lot of things, no grains, no sugars, quality fats, good fats, whole fats, good meat, good protein. Can you kind of give us a rundown of what you ate today? Give us kind of a premise of, okay, what did Brad Kearns eat today?
Well, as a matter of fact, part of the ketogenic strategy, especially that we outlined in the Keto Reset diet, is that you become so good at burning internal sources of energy, body fat, as well as manufacturing ketones in the liver, because ketones are a glucose-like substance that burns in the body just like glucose. So when you restrict dietary carbohydrates when you're fasting, starving, or eating in a keto pattern, you're not getting all your brain's glucose needs met by diet, and so you throw these ketones into the picture too, and they burn more cleanly than glucose. So I possibly was fueled by body fat and ketones this morning because I didn't eat. I just had some different meetings, and that's just one day in the life of Brad is I had my first meal at 1:30 p.m., and I had an interesting dish at a restaurant that was baked eggs and tomatoes in a bowl, like a little bit of a stew. I don't even know what they called it, but that's just a fun random fact of the day. But when you're fat-adapted, you can basically give or take these regular scheduled meals where you're on the clock for breakfast, lunch, and dinner because your body doesn't even know the difference between eating an omelet or pulling those calories from the storage areas in your body. So this is of great interest to people that want to drop excess body fat. And going on these low-carbohydrate, low-insulin-producing diets seem to have the best success at just dialing back the stored body fat and putting it into the bloodstream for use as energy. So what
will you eat the rest of the day? You had your first meal at 1:30. You're fueling your body on ketones. You had some tomatoes and eggs. What will you eat the rest of today?
I think to put in a plug for the plant-based folks, a lot of them tend toward a vegetarian, vegan bent, which is entirely different from this primal perspective where we're talking about animal nutrient-rich animal foods being the centerpiece of the diet, the eggs, the sardines, mm-hmm. the wild-caught fish, the grass-fed steak. You know, those things are among the most nutrient-dense foods on the planet. So we're all in favor of choosing wisely and getting high-quality animal products. But what we have in common is that the best health benefits come from a plant-based diet, which means the major emphasis, the bulk of the foods that you eat are going to be a wide variety of vegetables and a sensible intake of seasonal fruits, because we often overdo it these days on the fruit. But the vegetables is always the centerpiece. So I'll have huge stir fries. Well, I'll cut up a half a cabbage or a mixture that you get from one of the grocery stores of pre-prepared, sliced up assorted vegetables and stir fry those, or have big salads with an assortment of vegetables and nuts and possibly a protein source like a fish or a meat, and, you know, doused in healthy dressing made from an avocado oil base like the Primal Kitchen products or extra virgin olive oil. So you're getting essentially a high-fat meal and a high-fat diet that has a ton of plant-based, colorful, nutrient-dense foods in it. And that seems to be widely regarded as a winning ticket for someone looking to reduce those blood risk factors if you have high triglycerides or other things of concern, and also reduce excess body fat. So that's my basic pattern. I do like to eat a lot of high cacao percentage dark chocolate, so the very dark chocolate up at 85 to 90%, and that's a good snack.
That's
and you
very
can
bitter.
Add some nut butters if you want to it to kind of help yourself habituate away from the sweeter treats and snacks that we indulge in. But if I don't have a fasting period in the morning, I will also make a nutrient-dense green smoothie, which you can search YouTube, Brad Kern's Super Nutrition Green Morning Smoothie, and you'll see me preparing it and throwing all kinds of interesting ingredients in there that are helpful for health and well-being and also for peak performance, because I'm trying to pursue athletic goals even as an old guy and stay fit and competitive. I recently broke the Guinness World Record official for the fastest hole of golf ever played.
Whoa. And real sports.
Man, this is speed golf. This is like the real deal, and I trained for it for many months, and I had to be a good sprinter and also able to hit a golf ball while I'm breathing really
breathing hard
with my heart and my throat. So I have competitive goals still. I used to be a competitive triathlete, and
okay.
that was a long time ago, just like Cameron's career was many years ago.
Brad,
the important
thank you.
Thing is, if for you, man, I mean, you saw what it's like to perform at that highest physical level,
yeah.
and to endure the incredible intensity of practices and games at the NCAA, you know, top level of college basketball. And people have no idea, you know, the level of performance that you put your body through and what you asked of your body. So to have that memory stored, it's stored in your genes, it's stored in your cells, and you can unleash that anytime. I don't think you're going to make the practice squad, but you can go back into adult league play or whatever goals you have and unearth that competitive athlete deep inside you. And I think these are things that a lot of us kind of forget about as we get into busy life.
Yeah.
But it's critically important not only to choose the right foods, but to have that mentality that I, deep down, am an athletic, active, mobile person, because that's also in our genetic expectations for health. And even if you weren't a Division I basketball player going on a run to the Final Four, you might want to aspire to hike the nearby peak in your town that you've never done before, even if you're 55 years old, because it would be a magnificent feat to show that you can practice and prepare and focus and have something to get up for and meet your friends at the park for. And this stuff is what kicks people away from the ruts and the stagnation and into this life transformation that you can see, like on marksdailyapple.com. We have success stories every Friday, and you can hit a link of archived success stories, and they're absolutely mind-blowing. I just received a picture last month of a guy, Tom. Oh, I forgot his last name, but he was weighing in. Speaking of weighing in, he was weighing in at 405.
Mm, wow.
And he has a picture next to it 2 years later at 179.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
That's awesome. Pretty fabulous stuff. And these people are, you know, these aren't fakes. This isn't Photoshop.
Right,
these are
right.
real people that turn their lives around one day at a time just by making that simple choice to get rid of the nutrient-deficient foods and start eating stuff that tastes great and is delicious and creative and varied. And there's so many cookbooks now. It's simple and easy, and people are paleo-friendly in restaurants, and yep. there's never been a better time than now to make that change. And it's
right.
not painful. It does not have to involve struggling and suffering and those bad memories that you have of calorie restriction diets where you felt lousy or you had headaches. None of that stuff has to happen. You just transition over to delicious, nutrient-dense foods. And I'll use myself as an example because this is now 10 years ago to this June. In a couple weeks, I'll have my 10-year anniversary of my cold turkey departure from my usual diet, which featured a lot of carbs, into the primal realm. And I switched from a giant bowl of cereal every single morning. That was my
yes,
go-to
sir.
Meal
oh,
for my athletics.
Brad, mine was
I switched
at
from
night.
That,
yep.
I switched from that to a delicious omelet that had 5 or 6 eggs and assorted vegetables and cheese and bacon and avocado and salsa. And this thing was a masterpiece, man. But that thing fueled me for several hours as I was transitioning away from that carbohydrate dependency from eating the giant salad with the fruit and the yogurt and the bananas and all the accoutrements that was just adding up to basically be a big dose of carbohydrates first thing in the morning, the worst time.
Brad, we have to kind of wrap it up here, but a couple of things. Real quick, I was going to tell you, I'm kind of upset with you for telling Cameron that he has that genetic ability locked
yes.
back, because for right now I can guard him.
No, you can't.
And the problem is that when he gets done with this, he's going to be back to that form and I'm going to look silly again.
The problem is that you can't guard me now.
Yeah, no. We have proof on video when we went out to my dad's mission, so
don't
I'm just saying.
Think we do.
But one other thing I want to address before we let you go, Brad, is, you know, we mentioned the oils, and this is kind of a hot spot with me because a lot of what you get in restaurants is going to be cooked in bad oils. Why exactly are vegetable oils and other oils that are popular to cook with in almost every American home right now, why are they so bad for us?
Well, these oils are derived from things that, you know, aren't meant to be easily extracted into an oil. When you have an olive or an avocado, it's a very high-fat plant. Same with a coconut. And it's easy to just press out the oil and get a bottle of delicious olive oil, one of the healthiest foods on the planet. But when you're starting with soybean, sunflower, safflower, corn oil, they have to go through an intense chemical process where there's high temperatures involved, and even petroleum byproducts are involved in the manufacturing of these
yes.
oils. So the damage that incurs to the original agent, which isn't that healthy in the first place when you're talking about corn or soybeans or things like that, tremendous damage has occurred during the manufacturing process to basically render these things free radicals in a bottle. That's a quote from Dr. Kate Shanahan. And it only gets worse when you heat them up. So they're very unstable in the presence of heat, light, and oxygen. So when you put that bottle of corn oil on in your kitchen window and start cooking with it at night, it's already sustained oxidative damage, free radical damage in the bottle. And then you heat it up and it becomes more unstable to the extent that it's really a foreign substance that's being ingested by the body. And because it's the body thinks that it's a regular fat that you're getting from the diet, doesn't know any better, it integrates it into healthy cell membranes and renders them dysfunctional. So a lot of times what we see is, like, when you have that stubborn spare tire that you can't lose, or the cellulite around your legs or areas where it doesn't seem like the fat's coming off easily, a lot of times those are these dysfunctional high polyunsaturated vegetable oil ingestion, and they're storing on the body because they're not easy to access and burn for stored energy, unlike a natural fat.
So we literally have vegetable oil in our bodies.
Right. When you're putting that stuff in your diet, it's staying in there
wow.
for a long time.
What does it do to our vascular system? I know Dr. Kate Shanahan talks about how it immediately oxidizes, it immediately causes inflammation.
Right. And so the foundational causes of heart disease are oxidation and inflammation in the bloodstream. That is setting the stage, this fiery hell that your arteries become when you have also a high-stress lifestyle. So inflammation comes from not enough sleep, too much exercise, excessive exercise, bad dietary habits, arguments at the office and at home, all these kind of things that turn you into a free radical inflamed machine. And that's when bad things happen on the walls of your arteries with the cholesterol molecules. But it's not the, you know, it's not the direct blame of cholesterol and ingested cholesterol from the diet. This has been completely disproven by respected modern science that dietary cholesterol intake has no correlation with blood cholesterol levels and no correlation with heart disease risk. And you look at some of the healthy foods like egg yolks, which are very high in cholesterol and also high in assortment other nutrients that make it one of the best foods you can eat in the world. But people avoid that in the name of cholesterol. Right. It's they're missing the big picture. So you want to have the offensive foreign agents that you're consuming on a daily basis, getting rid of those to allow your cells to function normally is the short answer why those vegetable oils are so bad and why olive oil and avocado oil, which are also bottled oils, those are extremely healthy because they originate from a high-fat plant that's easy to extract the oil from.
Awesome. Well, we need to wrap it up. Do you have anything else, Cameron, Brad?
One last thing, Brad, and I just kind of want to say this for everybody because I'm the newbie here. You know, Leland's been doing this 2 years. Brad, you've been saying you've been doing this 10 years. As someone who's been doing this a month, I can tell you for all of you who are interested in doing this, number one, don't look at it as a diet. Don't look at it as a fad. Truly look at it as something, you know, this is how I did it. I'm going to jump on board and explore it, and I'm going to explore it as ferociously as I can to see what happens. And that's how I think you do anything like this. Yeah. What I found, even though this is my second time around, because I got into some bad habits about a month ago, which is kind of what reset me on this trial and kind of connecting more with Leland and getting Leland's input on what about this, what about this. And I peppered him with about 1,000 questions over the last month. But the one thing I can say is I have had those moments where, look, weight loss or non-weight loss, and I have lost some weight, okay, and that's good, and that's ultimately what I want. But there's two other things involved too. I have not only just lost some weight, I have felt better.
Right.
And I think that's what a lot of it is too. I just feel more clear-headed. I feel like I want to take on the world. I get up in the morning and there's an energy. It's not a caffeinated energy. It is just I feel like getting things done, which is nice because when you've gone through what I've gone through the last 10 years with herniated discs and surgery and dealing with opiates for a few years and testosterone depletion and having to regulate that, and then you just kind of get to the point where you're wondering if you're ever going to feel good again. Right. And that certainly helped with this. And then the other thing is these moments where you and Brad have both spoken about, and Brad, certainly when we asked you about what you had eaten today, you said you basically fasted all morning because you didn't feel like you needed to eat. And that goes such against what we've been taught of. Well, you have to graze. You have to eat six small meals a day. Or, you know, you have to eat breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And that's what I keep hearing from you, Leland, and Brad, from you. And I think we heard it from Elle, too, which is, no, you eat when your body needs nutrition. And if you don't need nutrition, you don't eat. And the thing is, it's not like you're going hungry in those moments. Your body's telling you you don't need to eat, so you're not hungry. And I found that to happen a couple of times, too. And I'm excited about getting more and more into this and seeing how much more of that takes place, seeing that happen more and more often, I should say.
Brad, go ahead.
Very well said, man. Good stuff.
Yeah, and we want to give you a chance to also talk real quick about the book. It's The 21-Day Keto Reset. I don't know how many times I've recommended this on Facebook to my listeners. It's out there at every bookstore. If people really want to go cheap, you can get it at Half Price Books. But get the real thing at Amazon or go to Barnes & Noble.
I'm wondering if it's not in a big, heavy box at my house right now.
Elle may have sent that to you.
Elle sent us an enormous box of swag, and I'm wondering if this, because it feels like nothing but books.
Yeah, we haven't opened it yet. It's like Christmas when we get home. But Brad, seriously, marksdailyapple.com, right? And where else can they reach you guys?
Well, go look at ketoreset.com, KetoReset. And that is the centerpiece of the comprehensive online mastery course that we offer in doing this the right way, making this dietary and lifestyle transformation. So you have the book, and the book is what informs the course material. But if you want to learn with a series of videos and have it be more of an interactive and dynamic experience, I host a lot of the videos where I take you through every single aspect of the book and make it plain and simple and doable and bite-sized. And I also interview many of the world's leading experts as part of this mastery course. So it's taking the book to the next level. And we really have received great feedback from people that, you know, they want to plunge into this thing. They want to do it right. They want to make that commitment. And this course is what that's all about. We also offer expert support. And you can go look on our Facebook group, Keto Reset Facebook group. You can join that and interact with real people that are doing this. And, you know, people are still uncertain of their starting point or a little insecure about this or that. So there's a lot of reassurance and community support here, but that's where I'd start. Go check it out. There's a lot of information on the website to tell you what you're getting into and how the benefits are going to accrue and not be a short-term shortcut program that's just contemplated so you can get into your bikini for the cruise this summer, but more of a very comfortable and doable, efficient lifestyle transformation.
Or Cameron, your yoga pants.
Yes.
So, hey, Brad, if you ever make it this side of the Mississippi, we'll be happy to give you a tour of Churchill Downs and Keeneland, two of the best horse tracks in America, and show you our beautiful rolling hills here in the Bluegrass State.
We'll take him to Rupp Arena.
That's right. Yeah, we'll take him to Rupp Arena.
Arena, man.
There you go.
I mean,
Churchill.
I'll watch the Derby on TV, but I want to go to a UK game and wear blue. You know?
We can
that's
do that.
On. That's the ultimate right
Absolutely,
there.
It's on. Brad, thanks so much, man. We appreciate you.
Thank you, Leland. Thank you, Cameron. Good luck to you guys.
Thank
All right.
you both.
That's Brad Kearns of Mark's Daily Apple. And again, we really appreciate great time. And just to what you said, it's a lifestyle change. I think that's kind of what you were getting at.
Well, and you hear that all the time. Look, when Atkins came around, and I keep connecting this to Atkins, because I think what I'm hearing from people who I'm talking about, and I'm just saying, yeah, I'm doing this. And I've had a couple people say, how's it going? I think one person pushed back and said, well, yeah, that fad's down here in Western Kentucky. I'm like, it's not a fad. Now, I realize it's new. I realize we tend to look at fads as, you know, like everyone's talking about it. But I keep going back to there is a connection to this, to Atkins, which is over 20, 30 years old. Now, it's not the same thing. But the basic of it is high protein, low carbs. I mean,
moderate protein, high fat.
That seems to be what has been working. And that's the basis of all this. And then you add in the no grains, no sugars.
Right.
Which I think is a lot of it as well. I mean, it just seems to be I've said this before on a couple of our podcasts. This just seems to be making sense. And if it was only making sense, that's one thing. Well, but I look at your story and I say, okay, it's not only making sense, it's working for Leland.
Right.
And in a limited amount of time, a month really, I feel like it's working for me. I notice the difference. I notice my cravings have changed.
Yeah.
You know, the other day I texted you yesterday about how my new favorite dessert is whole fat yogurt.
Right.
Which, who would have ever thought that would be healthy?
Same here.
That's the opposite of, I mean, everything else in the, see, that's the other thing. When you go into a convenience store, there are no good, no grain, no sugar options. There's not, beef jerky's about
there
the only
There are doctors
thing.
Who will tell you that snack is unhealthy, and it's a lie.
What? Which?
That what you said was unhealthy. The full fat yogurt,
honey and blueberries.
And it's
blueberries.
Not unhealthy. It's super healthy.
Blueberries is supposedly one of the most biggest superfoods there is. You got blueberries.
Antioxidants.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, and if you put that, not sugar, you don't get the sugar bought off the shelf, right? The sugar yogurt, because I can't, you taste regular whole plain sugar or regular whole plain yogurt and then the sweetened yogurt that we're used to.
Yeah.
It's like tasting cranberry juice and cranberry juice cocktail.
Yes, yes.
It is so night and day
so
different. You can't imagine how much sugar they've got to put in that to make it palatable to us.
Right.
So this is one way to get the whole fat plain yogurt, put some honey in it.
Not too much.
No, not too much. You don't have to put a lot.
Yeah.
Because it's always got, the yogurt always has that little twanginess to it.
Yeah.
The blueberries take some of the sweetness, and then the honey takes care of this. And all of a sudden, you're like, I've made my own taste good yogurt at home.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I will say that it is a little bit of a fad in some places where you see people hashtag keto, and I've noticed this too is on Instagram. I'll see people going through drive-thrus at fast food places, and they're Insta bragging about, oh, I got this double cheeseburger,
right. You
know, and that's great. That's great.
I mean, I had to do that.
No. That's fine. I'm not judging that. That is important to be able to do that when you're on the fly. But
yes. There's
a lot of people. I literally have seen some people that'll put that up 6-7 days in a row, and I'm like, you're kind of missing the point because at some point you're just going to want that bun back because you haven't gotten rid of the oils and the other bad stuff in the food. So,
and it's not just that you've told me. It's not just about doing away with the bun and the carbs and the cheese. It's about doing away with the meat that's not, you know, no non-hormone meat. It's not going to be, if you're going to fast food, you're not getting the good meat that has not been fed the non-organic stuff.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. But anyway, great to talk to Brad Kearns. That's really interesting. And the book is called The 21-Day Keto Reset Diet. We promise not to talk about food every single episode.
Well, look, this is something
this
you and
is
I are,
passion. We're passionate
exactly.
about
it. Exactly. You and I are both into this. We're both in our early 40s. We're both looking at sustaining this, us and our individual selves as long as we can. And we just both feel like, okay, you had your scare, I had mine. We got to make some changes.
I want to be 110.
And I want
people
you
to
really?
No, I do. And I want people to look around and go, now where did Leland go? And then I want them to find out that I fell off a cliff on top of a mountain
somewhere.
You
want to die an old man's, a young man's death.
Yeah. Yeah. At 110.
Yeah,
that's what
I
plan.
I get that.
I'll probably get hit by a truck tomorrow. But
that should be all of our goals, to die a young man's death.
At an old age.
At an old age. Yes, let's be clear. Not to die a young man's death tomorrow.
At an old age.
A young man's death in our late 80s, early 90s.
The Disruption Zone. Thanks for listening. I'm Leland Conway along with Cameron Mills.